Okay, let's jump right into a topic that's raising major alarm bells. We're talking about an alleged data leak impacting millions. And when it involves a company like AT&T, well, you have to pay attention. So we've been digging through the reports, the analysis around this whole incident, specifically this alleged AT&T data breach that seemed to surface in late May 2025. Our mission here in this deep dive is to sort of cut through the noise, figure out what reportedly happened, what kind of data, and it sounds like really sensitive data was allegedly exposed. And, why is this such a big deal? And maybe most importantly, what steps can you actually take if you think you might be affected?
And you're right, the scale here is critical. I mean, a major telecom provider, they hold just a staggering amount of personal information. The sheer volume being talked about, estimates are around 31 million customer records. That makes it way more than just another tech headline. If this gets fully verified, it's not just a technical issue. It has serious, potentially long-lasting effects on privacy and security for a huge number of people.
Okay, so let's unpack this then. The core event, as reported, is that sometime around late May 2025, this information surfaces, an alleged breach affecting those 31 million AT&T customer records. And the reports say this data allegedly popped up on a pretty well-known dark web forum, basically an online black market where this kind of leaked info often lands.
Yeah, exactly. And what the analysis points out, which is particularly concerning, is the format the data was in. Allegedly, it was posted in JSON and CSV formats. Now, that might sound technical, but what it means is this isn't just some messy random dump of files. These formats, they make the data incredibly structured, very usable.
Usable how?
Think like spreadsheets or organized databases. You can easily import them into software tools, perfect for quick searching, filtering, and crucially, really ideal for automating malicious activities. It suggests, the data wasn't just exposed, it was maybe prepared to be weaponized.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting and frankly kind of scary. What specific information was reportedly in this data set? The material we looked at laid out a pretty comprehensive list. Basically, enough pieces to build a whole digital profile on someone. We're talking full names, gender, birth date, tax identification numbers, TINs, which, let's be clear, are super sensitive, unique IDs.
Very sensitive.
Plus device and cookie IDs, IP addresses, physical addresses, phone numbers, email addresses. The analysis calls this kind of complete set a perfect storm for identity theft, for fraud. Attackers potentially have almost everything they need.
Right. And unfortunately, this isn't totally out of the blue for AT&T, which puts this current alleged breach into sort of a troubling pattern. The reports we reviewed mentioned a previous leak back in March 2024. That one reportedly affected 73 million customers. And then another one in July 2024 involving metadata from 110 million call records. So if you look at this trend, these repeated incidents, over a relatively short time, it really underscores possibly significant, maybe persistent cybersecurity weaknesses in these really large organizations.
So let's bring it back to the personal level. What does this all potentially mean for you if your data got swept up in this? The implications detailed in the reports, they're serious. When data sets this rich get into the wrong hands, the risk just escalates dramatically. We're talking things like direct financial fraud, someone impersonating you, highly sophisticated social engineering attacks because they have your real data, making them seem totally convincing.
Exactly.
Targeted phishing campaigns designed just for you, even potential blackmail or ransomware risks down the line. And the analysis makes a crucial point. If this leak is verified, this data has enough personal info to fuel these kinds of attacks for years. It doesn't just disappear.
And that brings up a really important question. How does this specifically impact you, just an everyday user, trying to manage your stuff online, your finances? Well, the risks become very tangible. Hackers could potentially use this data to try and open credit lines under your name, or gain unauthorized access to your existing online accounts, bank accounts, email, social media, whatever. And maybe the most insidious part, sending you extremely convincing phishing emails or texts because they have your real details, birth date, address, phone number. These scams can look incredibly legitimate,
Right.
which makes you far more likely to trust them, click the link, give up more info, and fall victim.
It does make you wonder, given how much sensitive data they handle, why are companies like these big telecom providers such frequent targets? The sources we looked at point to what's described as a pretty significant cybersecurity gap, maybe,
yeah.
in the telecom industry overall. They handle just truly immense volumes of customer data
yeah.
every second, right? Which naturally makes them prime targets for attackers.
Uh-huh.
And the report suggests that without exceptionally robust, constantly updated security infrastructure, well, these massive networks can unfortunately become soft underbellies for cyber criminals looking for that big score.
And like we mentioned with the dark web forum, that's often where this stolen data goes next. The dark web acts like this underground marketplace. Mm-hmm. Data gets distributed, bought, sold, maybe traded for other hacking tools.
Right.
And this is exactly where those formats we talked about, Jason, CSV, become so important. They enable that rapid monetization, that weaponization of the stolen information.
The reports also highlighted another critical vulnerability, something we've definitely seen before. Third-party risks.
Oh, yeah, that's a big one.
They brought up a specific example linking that July 2024 AT&T breach to a security issue related to Snowflake, the cloud storage provider. It just illustrates that even if a company has strong internal security, their partners, their vendors who handle their data, they can become the weak link.
Absolutely. Your security is often only as strong as your partner's security. It's a whole ecosystem you have to worry about.
So, shifting gears a bit to the company side, what are the proactive measures that the analysis says are necessary? What should companies be doing?
Well, the consensus is pretty clear. Companies, especially those handling sensitive data at this scale, they absolutely need a proactive security posture. You can't just wait to react after something happens. Reports really advocate for philosophies like zero trust architecture, which mm-hmm. sounds fancy, but the idea is basically trust nothing internally or externally, always verify. Doesn't matter if it's an employee, a device, software, verify everything trying to access resources. Mm-hmm. And it's also noted that, you know, basic stuff like reinforcing employee cyber hygiene, still crucial. Simple human errors can unfortunately open huge doors for attackers.
Interestingly, the material also points out that just encrypting data, while obviously important, isn't like a magic bullet.
Right.
Why isn't encryption alone enough?
Because hackers often find ways around the encryption. They might exploit weaknesses before data gets encrypted or while it's actively being used. Often, this involves compromising weak access controls or finding misconfigured system permissions or using login credentials that were stolen from somewhere else, you know, credential stuffing.
Yeah, okay.
So encryption protects the data at rest or in transit, but not necessarily the systems or the people authorized to access it.
Gotcha.
And this really just underscores how vital it is for companies to have robust incident response plans. Because frankly, in cybersecurity today, it's often a matter of when a breach happens, not if. So knowing exactly how to act fast, contain the damage, minimize the fallout, that's essential.
Right, like having a fire drill.
Exactly. The analysis mentions the role of Security Operations Center's SOC teams. You can think of them as the, like, digital fire department. They're constantly monitoring networks, detecting potential threats in real time, responding 24/7. And they use sophisticated tools, for example, to analyze suspicious files safely in isolated environments. That's what those sandbox analysis tools do.
Okay. And beyond the technical side and the customer impact, the reports also touch on the regulatory risks, right?
Oh, definitely. Big ones. You've got major data protection laws like GDPR over in Europe, CCPA in California. Breaches like this can trigger massive fines, costly lawsuits, and just long-term compliance headaches for companies. It adds another huge layer of consequence.
All right, now let's get to arguably the most crucial part for you listening as someone potentially impacted by this or, frankly, any data leak. What should you actually do? What are the recommended steps from the reports?
Yeah, this is key. And the advice is pretty consistent and actionable. First, change your passwords immediately, especially for any accounts linked to the potentially affected service, like AT&T in this case, and critically, any other website where you might have reused that same password.
Okay, number one, passwords.
Number two, enable multi-factor authentication, MFA, on absolutely everything you possibly can. That adds a crucial second layer of security beyond just the password.
MFA everywhere. Got it.
Third, actively monitor your credit reports and your bank account statements. Look for any suspicious activity, anything you don't recognize.
Keep an eye on your money. Makes sense.
And finally, be extremely wary of unsolicited communications, emails, texts, calls. Especially if they seem to have specific personal details about you. Attackers will use that leaked data to make their phishing attempts look incredibly convincing. Don't click links, don't give out info.
That's really good advice, but that leads to a key question. How can you even know if your information was part of this alleged leak or any other breach? for that matter.
That's a tough one sometimes, but there are tools. The material points to several services designed for this.
Mm-hmm.
Sites like Have I Been Proud are probably the best known. You can check if your email address has shown up in known data breaches.
Okay.
Other services like DarkEye or Bitdefender Digital Identity Protection were also mentioned. They aim to help monitor where your personal data might be exposed online, including scanning parts of the dark web.
Useful tools to check out then.
And the reports pose a really relevant question for anyone running a business, big or small. Is your business safe from similar attacks? The argument presented is pretty stark. If a massive organization like AT&T, with presumably huge budgets and resources, can allegedly be breached repeatedly, well, then basically any business is vulnerable.
Yeah, that's sobering.
The key differentiator, the reports suggest, isn't necessarily having an infinite budget to stop every single attack that might be impossible. It's more about having the right proactive security strategy, robust defenses layered correctly, and maybe having the right security partners who specialize in this. And they remind us of the costs, not just financial citing figures like the average breach costs nearing $4.5 million, according to some studies, but also the huge reputational damage, loss of trust.
Right. That trust is hard to rebuild. Just quickly, how do hackers typically make money from data like this? What do the reports say?
The summary is pretty straightforward. Primary methods include selling these big, comprehensive data sets on dark web markets, often for cryptocurrency, or using that detailed personal information themselves to launch highly targeted phishing attacks, ransomware attacks against both individuals and businesses. Or sometimes they trade the data for other illicit tools or access needed for future cybercrimes. It's a whole underground economy.
Okay. And circling back to what individuals can do, you mentioned passwords and MFA. The reports seem to emphasize these basic steps, right?
They really do. It sounds simple, but fundamental password hygiene and enabling MFA are often the most accessible and surprisingly effective steps individuals can take immediately. Use a good password manager. Generate unique, strong passwords for every single site. Absolutely avoid reusing logins across different services.
That reuse is a killer.
It really is. And enable two-factor or multi-factor authentication whenever it's offered. These are critical first-line defenses that can sometimes stop attackers even if your password has been leaked somewhere else.
Good reminders. Looking ahead just briefly, did the sources touch on the future of security in this space, like for telecoms?
Yeah, briefly. They noted that more advanced technologies are becoming less like novelties and more like essentials. Things like next-generation firewalls, AI-powered systems that can detect unusual or threatening activity much faster, and increasingly biometric logins, fingerprint, face ID, that sort of thing.
Interesting. So more tech is coming.
Hopefully making things more secure, yes.
Okay.
So I guess to summarize our deep dive today, this alleged AT&T leak really serves as a significant, maybe even stark reminder. Even these huge organizations with massive resources, they remain prime targets, and they are still vulnerable to sophisticated cyber attacks.
Yeah, building on that, if these telecom giants handling just immense amounts of our most sensitive data can be compromised and reportedly, repeatedly, it really just highlights how pervasive and serious these cybersecurity threats are in our connected world today. It really underscores that critical need for constant vigilance, not just from the big corporations holding our data, but from all of us, you know, as individuals interacting online every single day.
Absolutely. And maybe a final thought to leave you with,
yeah,
based on what we've discussed. Given that leaked data, especially this really comprehensive PII names, tax IDs, addresses, isn't just useful the moment it's stolen. It can fuel attacks for years, potentially years into the future.
Yeah.
So how does that potential long shelf life of your exposed personal information maybe change how you think about protecting your data privacy and security starting right now? That's probably a question worth considering as we wrap up.